This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha, Laugh, Funny,
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer. I'm so excited to be back after these last couple episodes that I've missed. And I am joined again by Jordana and Sammy. We're going to be discussing, of course, part 4, Beverly Hills, plus some Winterhouse. How's it going? How's Thursday so far?
You know, we've recorded a podcast with each other. So, you know, that's where we are so far. It's yeah. Good. Honestly, Thursday is my best day because I get to talk about just...
things you love.
Things I'm interested in. So, yeah, most of my Thursdays are podcasts. But this is the end of our residency at the Mention It All podcast. So I'm feeling pretty sad about that. I have nothing to do on Wednesday nights anymore.
I mean, you could still watch shows. You just won't have anywhere to talk about them.
Yeah. Well, I was saying, I feel like this is definitely not a goodbye. It's a see you later. But... I feel personally like this Beverly Hills season has now sort of come to a natural stopping point. And knowing that they're already filming season 12, we've gotten numerous different photos of like different, you know, there was a group dinner, there was Erica and Garcelle, you know, they've been out and about. I feel like it's time for a little breather. We can like move the story forward a little bit. You know, Dorit's robbery, I'm sure, is going to be... you know, major a big early storyline. So like, I think as much as I enjoyed this season, I almost am like a little relieved it's over because I feel like Erica kind of said everything she really could, even if it wasn't satisfying. Like, it was clear by the end of part 4 that it's like, Erica doesn't have any more information to share.
Right.
Like, we can have more moments of her, you know, yelling at Sutton or being annoyed with Andy, but you know, it was time to be done for now.
I totally agree. I feel like after watching this reunion, I do feel like the sweet spot is 3 episodes. I think that 4 is a little much.
Well,
I'm grateful for 4. It gives me something to watch.
I can't remember who was saying this, but Barry and I have talked about it before that honestly, a lot of reunions that are 3 parts should be 2. So then when you have right. a reunion that's 4 parts, it's like, yeah, 3 might be the right number.
I think like, 3 for a good, juicy, drama-ridden season is like a good amount. If it's like a season where it's like if it was like New York and they did a reunion, I feel like 2 would have been more than enough.
Half hour Watch What Happens Live.
Yes.
I love how we're like talking about this as if it's not completely driven by how many advertisers they need to please. Like, that's really what it's about.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason that like certain shows always get 3 parts regardless of how juicy their season was. Like, they are like the Beverly Hills ad spots are being sold regardless of whether anything happened in the season. So I'm sure they were, you know, happy that they had enough to share. There was on Watch What Happens Live last night, which was with Paige and Sierra, they showed like a deleted scene from the reunion that was like Garcelle and Erica getting into it. And I'm like, guys, we had 4 parts. Why are you cutting anything that is remotely interesting? Like,
right,
there was enough time. Show me all the good parts on the actual reunion.
You could have fit it. Right. Yeah. I do feel like anything new came to light this reunion than past episodes.
I think Erica had her best reunion, but I also think the production really did her a favor by not putting Sutton directly across from her because mm-hmm. I think it's sort of like energetically... Really, the real conflict of this season was between Erica and Sutton. Yes, it was about Erica's legal stuff, but, like, they didn't really make, like, an Erica and Sutton section of the reunion, and that was very much like missing to me.
It was all, they spent like probably a total of about two episodes basically Andy asking Erica questions, and then sort of all the women, you know, having their moments where they were also asking Erica questions or getting into it with Erica. But you're right that there wasn't ever a time where they were like, let's roll the clip package of Erica and Sutton having their thing. And like when they were talking last night about Erica threatening Sutton, it was like a question for Erica. And then Erica basically just, I think, was like gaslighty about what she was actually saying, because she's like, no, I didn't threaten you like in a real way. I threatened you like, if you're struggling next season, I won't be graceful toward you. And it's like,
that's not what you said.
Let's all just agree that's not what she, that's not what, how it came across, certainly in the moment. And like, I think everyone, regardless of how you feel about Erica, can watch that and be like, yeah, I don't think she was talking about show politics for next season. That felt like a very direct, you know, menacing thing.
I thought it was interesting, the difference between, like, I think Erica did a good job for everything that, like, she, for as good of a job as she could have done. I think she came out not looking worse than going, like, I think before, she, if anything, she's, like, at worst, she's, like, the same. At best, she's like, I think people have slightly better attitude towards her almost, because she was like down to answer whatever, even if it wasn't like a really good answer or a non-gaslighting answer. It was, she still answered pretty much everything. And I thought it was interesting, sort of like the tactic for being in the reunion, if you want to come back versus if you don't. Like Denise, it feel, like if you compare it to like Denise, who was like sort of in her position last year, and Denise was just kind of like, not really like, kind of like half there, not really answering shit, like didn't really seem, but like Erica's trying to still be a character on the show. She's still trying to work for the audience to an extent. And I thought it was very interesting to see like the different way that you act, like based on
how
your next season.
Right. Erica was obviously, you know, there were moments where she was lashing out or whatever, but she was not trying to burn bridges at this reunion. She was trying to, I do feel like watching it that she really did say as much as she could. Unfortunately, I think she's falling back on the same talking points a few too many times of, you know, I'm not a liar, I'm not a victim. But the problem is that she can say that as much as she wants, but the behaviors that she's showing don't necessarily confirm that that's actually how she feels. And I think the victim thing especially, she talks so many times about how she's not the victim. She knows she's not the victim. She knows there are real victims who need help more than she does. But then the whole time she's talking in general, it's like, this happened to me. Look at my life. How are, you know? So, and then when Andy asked last night about her talking to Tom, which I thought was a super interesting thing that we hadn't really dug into until then, and he asks, you know, if she's asked him if he did it, and her response is that she's asked him how he could do this to her and leave her in this position with the lawsuits.
Right. And nothing to do with anyone else.
That was like one of the worst moments for her, I think, because I don't see how you could watch that and not have the feeling of, so your only real concern was yourself when it came down to it.
Right. She seemed very, very concerned with herself.
Like, I'm very upset. You left me holding the bag. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, so that's her, that's your concern here.
Her delivery was actually pretty emotional and pretty, like, in that way. I don't know if she's just a very good actress, but she did seem very genuinely emotional about her own pain.
I did enjoy her performance in Chicago. I've always stood by that.
She's pretty good, generally speaking. I think, though, like, I mean, so she's basically saying, like, how could you do this? But she's like, okay, when he calls me, I said, how could you do this to me? How could you let me be in this position of everyone suing me? But I'm kind of like, if you didn't really know anything, then, like, you already left him. Like, why would you say that to, like, your ex-husband? Like, why wouldn't he be like, why did you leave me when I had dementia? Why would you leave me in my weakest point?
Right. Yeah. And you would also start way before, why did you do this to me? You would start with like, how could you have done this? How could our whole life have been a lie?
Right.
It would have been a much more like existential question. So like, I feel like she came across probably like 10% better than ever, like than she ever has. More like sympathetic, but at the same time, like I sort of see her as almost like a Carmela Soprano, where it's like, you know that the money is being made in a sketchy way. You don't know the details in a way that you'd be liable for it, but, you know, she clearly knew something because her whole attitude would be different towards him if she were just finding this out with the rest of the world.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too. When Andy asked kind of about whether she knew there was anything shady, and she responds that she never would have come on reality TV if she knew that there was anything shady going on, that to me was like a little bit unsatisfying, because it's the sort of thing where I don't think she would have come on reality TV if she knew that there was like an investigation going on. I mean, Jen Shah, it's questionable. I think more questionable, like you were actively being investigated. With Erica, it's like, you know, my husband's rich.
Right.
He's Erica, a successful lawyer. We don't ask a lot of questions. She never really had to explain on the show where all of her money came from. It was just like, Tom's a hotshot.
I also think to Erica, like, this was normal. Like, part of why Tom was able to get away with all this is because he kind of like had people in the bar who were looking out for him and people in the police department. And you even saw them like interact with the police chief in one of the episodes.
One of her first scenes.
Episodes. Yeah. So it's like, she probably just thought like, you know what? Like, this is how it is. Like, sometimes there's like immoral people who are like, you know, getting theirs by doing shady shit. Maybe she didn't know the full extent.
Right.
What I don't understand is, like, once she figured out what was really going on, why didn't she completely change her direction in a way that would have made her, I think, come out looking better and you'd feel bad for her? And, like, I don't understand why she didn't play that. What was so hard about getting out of her own head and being like, what should I do?
I don't think it's in her nature. Her nature is to be, like, the strongest person in the room and, like, she is more interested in being like powerful than sympathetic.
Sammy's like, she should have gotten bangs and started wearing jeans and sweaters.
Honestly, like, not even that. Like, I'm not even saying she had to like put on that kind of thing. I think if she had just been like,
I think she tried that in the beginning. Like, I'm moving into my tiny house on 2 acres.
No, this is $2 million. That's not what I meant. No, that's not what I mean. If she had made this about like almost a breakdown of like, how could my whole life have been a lie and my husband who I thought was amazing, done this horrible thing to all these people.
People would have naturally already felt bad for her. If she had felt bad for the victims, people would feel bad for her.
Yeah. And if she had once said like, all this money and this stuff that I bought, I feel so guilty knowing that it was at the expense of other people. And I want to do my best to try to help them recover that money. But instead, in court, she's not doing that. So it's like, why wouldn't you do that? And then you're like giving yourself so much more longevity as a person. She can write a memoir. Right.
Even if she said, I don't know, because I can understand why she'd be like, I'm not going to admit to guilt publicly, like saying that there definitely are victims, because that's just bad for me legally. Even if she said, I don't know what happened, even, you know, if this thing's happened, that is completely awful. And like, Even if she said if, like, I feel like it would work.
But instead, she didn't do that ever.
I think this isn't a direct comparison because of the victim aspect, but when Teresa got convicted and went to prison, she was really open about the fact that, you know, I feel like people pretty much bought the idea that she didn't know what she was signing and she got roped into this thing. She did her punishment. And then she was open about the fact that she was doing all of these appearances and stuff because she needed to make money to support her family. And, you know, she's writing the books and doing all this stuff and staying on the TV show. And I think that could easily tip into people being like, she's profiting off of her, blah, 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 blah. But because she felt like she was kind of laying it all out there. I don't think anybody was like, why is she doing an appearance at this club, like, when she is convicted of fraud? And I think for Erica, it feels like she's sort of been living in this in-between world where it's like, look at my life, look at how horrible it is, but she's still bringing two glam people to Del Mar. And I think that's why it's so frustrating when she is like, the worst thing that anyone could possibly say is that she's a liar. And I that's another example of where I think she comes across as kind of a gaslighter, because if somebody lays out a specific example of when you said something that wasn't true, that is a that can be an example of a time you lied, and them saying you lied isn't the same as like, you're the least trustworthy person right. I've ever met in my life, and you must have been lying about all of this other stuff. And I think Erica is sort of making this bullshit kind of narrative where it's like, Sutton, how dare you call me a liar because of this one specific thing? And I don't think Sutton is really putting that much weight behind saying that something was a lie.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I have to say, Erica being married to Tom for, what, 20-something years? 20 years?
Yeah.
You don't, like, you're not married to, like, a good lawyer for 20 years and not pick up any tricks. Like, yeah. She speaks like a lawyer. She's actually kind of good at it. Like, in terms of, like, what you said, like, the gaslighting thing, like, the way she can sort of turn the narrative mm-hmm. around to make it her own thing. And I do think that comes from being married to a lawyer. That's what a good lawyer kind of does on the trial, in the stand. Like, they kind of twist the story before you even know what's happening.
She never answers any questions directly. She always answers a question with a question. Like, specifically with the liar piece, which I do not understand this, like, obsession with, like, if someone calls you a liar, like, people lie all the time. People lie, like, on average, I believe, 8 times a day. So it's like, no, like, you are a liar,
we're all
Erica.
Liars.
Right. There's a difference between I have told a lie in my life and I admit that because I'm human right. and I'm an untrustworthy person who has a reputation of being a liar. And I think
she is the latter.
She's making this false equivalency between those two where she is trying to blame Sutton for thrusting this reputation of being a liar upon her, when it's like, actually, Sutton is just pointing out a specific time when something you said didn't add up or didn't make sense. And hearing her once again try and explain these car accident stories is every time it's like baffling. And I know this has become like the biggest meme of the season. We have the whole robbery story on a pillow, betches.co/Bravo merch. But truly, every single time she talks about it, the viewers, as well as the whole cast on the reunion couch, is like scratching their head, trying to follow it, trying to match up what she said before. And it's just different every time. And it's
tell
like,
me what you see.
Right.
She's like, actually, it was 9 hours because I did the math. And then also, you know, this didn't happen. And no, there's not a police report. And I'm not going to talk about the snow. It's like,
I'm not going to talk about, like, why not talk about the snow? Why? That's the one thing you won't talk about. I'm not going to comment on the snow.
I looked up the weather in LA that day. It did snow. I believe that there was snow.
Well, right. Then she should just say that.
It's all very weird. I mean, she is not the liar thing that she gets very hung up on is it's a defense. It's like someone asks her, like, Andy asks, like, why are you so triggered by being called a liar? And she's like, well, would you want to be called a liar? And it's like, that's not what the question was. Right.
It's a question, like, with a question. But
she
it's interesting
always answers questions with questions.
I feel like Sutton, although she has like the right intention and vibe, is just not a formidable opponent for Erica. She's not aggressive enough, and she doesn't have like the same bark. So she really can't go against Erica. She will lose just because Erica is like louder and like more intense. But Andy, I think, did a good job for sort of like filling in the gaps where Sutton couldn't, because she's a little, she just can't do it. So I think Andy did do a good job of like taking the reins and being like, okay, Sutton's not going to push back on you in the way that like everyone wants to see. So I'm going to have to do it for her.
I think the thing with Sutton is not, I do think you're right, but also in a separate from whether or not she has the capability to sort of go there, I truly don't think her motivation is to destroy Erica or to take Erica down or to make Erica even look bad. She wants answers. She wants Erica to be good. Like, she doesn't want Erica to be the villain in all of this, but she is like having trouble with it. Whereas if you had somebody like an LVP or Camille, or if the stars had aligned differently, Rinna could have been like this, where they really were, you know, sort of on a mission to, you know, dig up all the evidence and dig up all the dirt on Erica, it would have been a much different season. And I don't necessarily think it's bad that we didn't have that, but it's like, I do think, I agree with you that it was good that Andy clearly had a long list of questions that he was going to ask no matter what, because
right.
the cast and would like wasn't come back quite for clarity. Going there with her. Yeah.
I think the Andy's best skill is that he like doubles down instead of letting them just have the bullshit answer. He's like, but what about this? Or like, but you said that, and can't you see why someone would think this? And no one else will do that. So I'm glad he did.
I also thought it was interesting that Erica was like, on any other franchise, like this would have gone differently. Everyone here is so precious. It's like, actually, on every other franchise, you would have been fucked. Like,
right.
That,
and Potomac, oh my God, they would destroy her immediately. Everyone
literally
would.
Giselle would, like, come wearing, like, a shirt that says, like, Tom doesn't pay his taxes. Like,
there would have been a clink, clink. Like, yeah. I think also, I saw somebody point out on Twitter that it was interesting that she, at first, just said, she said, this wouldn't happen on Atlanta. This wouldn't happen on Potomac. And Garcelle kind of like raised an eyebrow and she's like, or New York. And it's like, I mean, that's a whole can of worms that
this
it's like,
this wouldn't happen on New York. Oh my God.
First ones
like,
she came,
never.
The first ones that came to mind were like the casts of Black women, which I think is interesting. But
that's right. You know,
in general, yeah. It's like,
they would have ripped her apart.
Right. It would have
so
been
would
a conversation
York,
that ended with her being like dragged for filth.
Yeah.
Completely. I mean, that's what they do. That's why Beverly Hills is so annoying, is because everyone, it's very LA, and then it's all very kind of like fake, and like people are showing what they want to show, and they want to show like their money and their like nice stuff. And I think I talked about this before, like everyone greets each other in such like a bullshit sweet way on Beverly Hills that no one in any franchise does. Like in Beverly Hills, when they all come to a party together
look
at like Dorit's house, you look incredible. Oh my God. I love this. I love this outfit. New York, they come together and they're like, oh my God, did you hear that? Like Sonia, like totally made up that she slept with that guy. Like she's such a loser. And they all like say that to her face. It's It's like a completely different greeting.
And notice last night when Erica sort of clapped back quickly at Dorit about her own lawsuits. That was something we weren't going to touch. Clearly, it was like they showed a little clip package and then we were moving on to something else. And so, yeah, it's like there definitely is kind of an air of we're going to talk about the topic that we've decided is the topic. And, you know, that's kind of going to be what we're doing right for now. And there's nobody's going to change that, right?
What about Kyle throwing Andy under the bus about, like, you heard the rumor too, Andy. We heard it from the same person.
And that, we know it was Bethany.
Yeah. I mean, they put up the article. Yeah. I wasn't sure. And then they put up the article.
Right.
I do think that it's like, Erica, it's a little odd to me when Kyle's like, well, I heard a rumor and I assumed it was untrue. Like, we hear hundreds of rumors about each other.
I actually assume most rumors are true.
But then when Erica's like, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you tell me about it? Why didn't you bring it to me right away? And it's like, Kyle just said that, these people are in like Page Six, Radar, all of these, like All About the Tea, like these random ass websites all the time. And no, you're not going to text everybody about every article you see, because if you assume it's not true, then it's no big deal. That's why we've had a whole storyline on Potomac about this like dumb blog rumor about Eddie cheating. It's like, yeah, because you aren't supposed to take that stuff seriously.
Right. But if it's in the LA Times, then yeah.
And a hit piece, as Erica would say.
This hit piece in the LA Times, it's like, we didn't call you a liar. Kind of the LA Times did. Like, it's not.
But also we get a little moment within all of the Erica stuff last night of Rinna kind of having to like grovel a little bit again for her past sins, which I still don't think was entirely fulfilling as a viewer who
didn't seem sincere.
Yeah. So basically Andy asked the question, you know, like, Rinna, you've changed. Why, after all of these other incidents where you didn't give a fuck about seeming like an asshole, are you like, guys, we have to support Erica no matter what? And Rinna, rather than actually having an explanation for that, is just like, you know what, Andy? I feel horrible for everything else I've ever done on the show. I feel horrible for Kim. I feel horrible for Yolanda. That's right. One of my biggest regrets.
Easy to say now.
I feel horrible about
Denise. Her apologies were all like the same thing, but in no way was she like,
Denise,
actually.
Even though I told Garcelle that I'm not ready to actually apologize to her yet. And I'm just going to blanket say I regret all of those things that I did on this show for 6 years. But Erica, I'm sticking by her. It's like, what?
It's like you're sticking by the one like really questionable one. The others were like struggling. Like Yolanda had an illness, like a chronic illness. Kim has an addiction. Like, she picked on those people.
Right. Those were all situations where Rinna was going against someone who really could have used an ally in a way that they were like genuinely hurting. Whereas
Rinna loves to punch down.
Erica could use an ally because people are abandoning her because they don't want to be legally implicated in something.
Like, right. Because she's like implicated in something that is like affecting orphaned tsunami victims.
Right.
Like Denise.
What did
may
Kim
or
Richards
not
ever do to an orphan? Like,
right. Like she wants to destroy Denise's marriage and like bully LVP when her brother just committed suicide. And like, but Erica, like this incredibly like not contrite, in no way sympathetic person who has like a full investigative piece on her in the LA Times. That's the one that Rinna backs. You would think that Rinna, hearing all these examples and watching her own behavior, like all in a montage, she might, instead of being like, oh, I did something wrong in each of these situations, like, why wouldn't she think like, oh, I'm maybe a shitty person. Because literally
she's a
good friend. Yeah.
You know what? Despite all of this, I'm a good friend. That's the one thing that I will stand by. And
right, it's like, wouldn't you just say, like, maybe I could work on being a better friend after watching the montage of your shitty behavior?
You know what? I got the note. I'll work on that. One of my favorite Bravo accounts, Raven at Mainly Bravo, she tweeted how it's always funny how housewife apologies get framed as, like, I'm sorry that happened. And
She literally said, I'm sorry that happened.
The passive voice to talk about something that they very actively did in the past. Yeah. And so for Rinna to be like, the thing with Yolanda, I wish it hadn't happened. And it's like,
You did it.
I wish I didn't do it. Like,
housewives and politicians are one and the same. And that was really the original concept behind the Betches Sup, to be honest with you.
Once you become aware of how people use passive voice strategically, it's very like, you notice it a lot. And it's like, oh, this is, yeah, no, I get why you're doing this. Right. And it's a clever little trick.
I'm with Garcelle. I'm still kind of mad at Rinna for what she did to Denise Richards.
I'm in a point where
mad at Rinna just for like being the shitty person she is. Like, I'm more mad at Rinna for constantly having friends on the show, and it seems like she's gonna have another friend on the show next year, and then throwing each and every one of them under the bus when they are at their worst point.
I don't particularly care about the Denise situation anymore. Like, if Denise is ever coming back on the show, I would love to explore it. But for now, I'm kind of like, I didn't particularly enjoy that season while it was on. But I do, Sammy, you're totally right that there is this pattern. And I think basically everybody watching the show at this point has identified the pattern. And the majority of people watching the show are kind of sick of it, or at least think that Rinna is kind of a shitty friend. And so it is a little bit sus to me when they are started filming and the first kind of like new person that we have word about is this woman, Sanella Diana Jenkins. There's a lot of information about her on the internet, and she's being kind of, at least on the internet, talked about as Rinna's friend that's coming onto the show. It's unclear. She definitely has some, I think she knows Kathy, too. It's hard to know with these women, but, like,
it's, I want to see, I want to see that controversial Kathy
another
season.
Friend.
The thing is, Dylan, the second you posted that, I was like, Diana Jenkins, like, I know that name. I've seen it. Like, I've seen it written places. Where did I see it? And she's involved in, like, the yachting world is where I had seen it in the past. So,
interesting.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, she has a lot of like legit business stuff, and then there's also some like questionable things if you
when
dig
I say
around.
Yachting, I don't mean like boats.
Oh, interesting.
I'm an accountant.
I kind of want to see them go for Kathy a little bit.
Me too. Okay. I
think that would be
see,
fun to watch.
I really think Big Kathy was like a cult leader, and her kids were her like members, and the members like. Like, I really do. And I think that, like, that's what really the true narrative of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is. It's like, what did Big Kathy do to these
girls? Kathy will buy the whole Bravo network and shut them down before she allows that to be the plot.
Well, that so, is, it's a very interesting plot.
Here's my thing with Kathy. When she came on the show, obviously she came on as a friend of, she didn't want to commit to it, you know, whatever. Great for her. She doesn't need the money. But at the reunion, she was there for like 3.5 parts out of 4. She got to stay at the end and have her little, what would you do differently this season? And have her moment apologizing to Garcelle. They're treating her like she's a housewife. She was at all of the filming events, basically, except for Garcelle's dinner. And so I do feel like this season, it felt like everybody kind of had the kid gloves with Kathy. And I think that was fine because we got a lot of great moments from her. But I think if she's gonna be on next season as much, she at some point is gonna have to sort of like step into the ring a little bit. Even if it's not as heavy as what you want to bring up, Sammy, like even if it's just like have a stupid disagreement with somebody, that's what Housewives is.
Honestly, I can't see her doing that. Like, I can't see her disagreeing with anyone other than her own siblings, like in a real way. Like, I can't
see
her really.
If someone said something about her mom, she might, that could like spark something.
That would be the only way. Maybe she wants to respond to my allegation.
I could see her having like a little spat with like Dorit or Rinna. I could see that happening.
Can't see Dorit or Rinna having a spat with Kathy is the reason. It's like they would immediately cede ground to her.
I know.
Maybe Garcelle wouldn't, but I feel like there's respect there.
I think that's the tough thing about Beverly Hills is that there are always these weird power dynamics of people. And we've seen it with Erica this season. Clearly, the majority of the cast doesn't really want to go there with her for whatever reason. I think we've seen that, you know, we saw that for a long time with Lisa Vanderpump, and then the bubble kind of burst. You know, I think at the beginning of this season, Kyle was saying that she was like nervous to be, you know, to like speak her mind around Garcelle. Like those dynamics are, they can be interesting to watch, but at the same time, they can also sort of stifle the natural events from happening if people are always kind of tiptoeing around certain cast members.
Is anyone cut from next year?
No.
No, everybody, I'm not sure if Kathy has been seen filming yet, but everybody else has.
Kathy has too much real world power, like not on, not show power. You know what I mean? Like there's show influence and then there's like real LA influence. Right. Like I think Kathy has too much real LA influence for any of them to like go against her.
I guess we'll see.
Like the same reason they won't go against Kyle on the show is because she has like the most show influence.
Yeah. I don't expect anyone to go against her in like a major way, but I would love to see just like a little bit of a spat, a disagreement here or there, you know, keep it interesting.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week. Grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite. Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Okay, let's talk about Winterhouse just a little bit. This Austin and Lindsay and Sierra situation is really, it's really tough for me to watch because I just how could it not be? I mean, Lindsay just, they're on such different pages. Lindsay saying that she thinks that Austin is like putting her on the back burner until he's older and then is going to come around and date her. I'm like, I don't think that's what's happening. I think you're, you know, kind of lying to yourself about what this situation is. She says she's a front burner kind of girl, which I think 99% of people would describe.
Well, that's like saying you have main character energy.
Right. It's like, yeah, like nobody front really burner, wants to be played.
Like not a back burner. Like you're the main girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, you can't just put me on the back burner until you're ready. Like, I'm a front burner kind of girl. I'm like, yeah, like every, like that. Okay, good. You have like self-esteem.
Just out, or yeah, or maybe. I mean, Lindsay's an amazing reality TV person. Like, she truly is. I've seen rumors that Lindsay and Carl are dating IRL.
They did a couple's Halloween costume.
Yeah. Is that the source of the rumors? That costume?
So there are other, it's been kind of circulating. They've played coy about it. At the book release party, Bryce Sander asked them about it and they were like, and Lindsay was like, I'm really happy right now. And they like,
maybe they're afraid to fuck it up because like, I do feel like the two of them, like as they get older, they don't, something I'm happy about is that I do feel like Lindsay and Carl have not gone the like, let's be crazy or like, let's be like wild reality people who are just always doing things for controversy and like fucking up our own lives. I do feel like they care about their lives.
Yes.
You know?
And I think also, you know, they have a season of Summer House that is waiting to be aired. And I think that potentially there could be some spoilers if they're coming out now and being like, yes, we're in a happy relationship. So I think in a few months, we might have a little more clarity on that.
Yeah. I think that'll be exciting. I ship that couple.
I can't believe Kyle is like almost 40.
Right.
In his house. And like he's with these like 24-year-olds. Like it does seem like you forget. It
Who's
does
24?
Seem a little weird.
No one's 24.
Sierra is like
Sierra's like 24, 25. I think she's 25. Oh,
maybe
yeah.
She's 25 now. She was 24 on Summer House.
Austin's 33. She's 25. They have an 8-year difference. And Kyle's like, that's perfect. Amanda and I are 9 years apart. I'm like, sure. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he looks young, but like, it is weird. I do think there's something weird about being in like a house with mostly like 25-year-olds if you're 40.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's not that weird because of the ages range from like 25 to 40. Like, they're all sort of. Like, there's 30-year-olds, there's 28-year-olds. Sierra
I guess
is
they're
young.
All on that reality TV ageless.
Yeah. Like, I think some of them are 38. Some, you know, there's enough of a range. It's not, like, all 25-year-olds and Kyle or, like, all 40-year-olds and Sierra. Like,
right.
They're all sort of within it.
I think the thing that makes it a little bit weirder, maybe, not, like, bad weird, but just, like, an odd dynamic is that if the expectation is that most of these people are single and they're going to like hook up with each other, you are going to get some like age differentials of like, I don't know if you're, I imagine that not all like 35-year-old single people would be trying to hook up with like a 26-year-old. So
yeah. What do you think about Amanda and Kyle? Because I mean, obviously they got married, but do you think that they sort of like embellish their fighting for the show, or it's like that they let their fights sort of like go further than they would go if they were in like their real life? Because they seem happy and to love each other, but right. You watch them on the show and you're like, this is not a good functional couple.
I was wondering that because it just seems so like, it seems so like dramatic based on the fact that nothing is really happening. Mm-hmm. Like the first the night on this episode when they like do the beer Olympics and Kyle is like sobbing because he can't find Amanda and she's in the bathroom. And it's like, I know that you're drunk and that, you know, emotions can run high, whatever. But like, what are you like actually upset about? Like, it doesn't seem like, okay, so they, you know, Kyle's been working too much. Amanda wants quality time together. Like, that is an extremely, like,
standard
pedestrian relationship dynamic issue. Like, okay, yeah. So, like, Kyle probably needs to make a little more time for Amanda. And that's something that they can both, you know, work on together. But, like, it is kind of funny that I feel like they probably are conscious of making drama, but also, like, the show wants to frame it as drama. And it's like, that's not really drama. That's just like working on your relationship.
Right. Well, what I kind of guess is going on is that like when you're in a real fight, you know, with your partner, you kind of could go either way. Like you could kind of keep letting the fight go by being like more mad, mm-hmm. or you could stop it and communicate or like take a break. But because they're filming, I think they don't do that second
right
thing and they let it go and they maybe know sort of like, oh, we're doing like this was for the show, you know?
Yeah. And they've been doing this for a long time now. It seems like we've progressed, thankfully, past the point in their relationship where it's like Kyle got drunk and made out with another girl. It's like now they're arguing about like their bedroom situation, which I think if you're going to be, like, seriously together with someone and getting married, that should be sort of the caliber of argument you're having, not, like, did you fuck someone else? So.
Right, right. It's true.
The growth is good to see.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, now that he is almost 40, I would imagine.
you're going to keep reminding him.
I am going to keep. I mean, it's just, I think, Andy asked her on the show, like, do you feel like it's weird that Kyle is almost 40 and blacking out on the thing? And she's like, no, like it's fine. I think that if there's any huge issue in their relationship, it's that Kyle, who is almost 40, frequently blacks out and like kind of is mean to her.
But is he blacking out for the show or is he blacking right. out that's like the, on a normal night when they're just chilling? You know,
they have, I mean, they basically have the same stats in the relationship as Brittany and Jax, except for not having a baby. And like, I feel much less darkness with Kyle and Amanda.
Way less.
Jax.
So. Way less. Like, it does feel like, it really does feel like the drama's heightened in their relationship is heightened for the show.
Well, here's the thing. We've never seen them. Vanderpump Rules and Summer House are two different shows. One is filmed in a very, like, time where you're putting people in a house with other people. We never see them really, like, in their day-to-day lives. Like, Vanderpump is supposed to be about their day-to-day lives. They're not all, Vanderpump, they're never in a house for, like, 3 weeks all together with the rest of the people. It's like an ongoing reality show. I think Summer House is a totally different dynamic because they're put in a very different situation.
I actually like was thinking about this yesterday that I was like, wow, it would be fun to have like a show in the fall where it's like them just living their lives in the city. And then I'm like, I don't actually think we need that.
Well, it heightens all the drama when they're all in a house.
Yeah. Right. And I don't think that it would be like more enjoyable to watch them going about their lives and like grabbing lunch like on a housewives show. I don't think that would be more entertaining than whatever shenanigans they're doing like in the house.
Well, that's why on the reality on Housewives they always have them do a trip or two because they need them in a house where they can't escape each other for like a long for like a prolonged period of time because that's when you can't like escape the drama. Like you can get dinner with someone and then leave and you're fine. But if you put someone in a house with someone for like 3 days plus, it's going to get weird.
Yeah, especially if there's already weirdness.
Right.
Yeah, if you're confessing your love to someone the first night you show.
Exactly.
Well, this has been so fun. I'm so glad you two were able to join me for this little capsule of Thursday episodes. What a Beverly Hills season. It was a whopper of a season.
I'm upset that this is over. I feel like I've been on this train for a full year because this is, it's 1 year since the election. And that was the day that they filed for divorce. So this has been a doozy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for joining me. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed Sammy and Jordana on the podcast, make sure to go give us a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And follow the show so you never miss any of our episodes. And
just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool. Did I say it right?
Okay. Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.